Hello and welcome to Wit and Grace. My name is Florence and I'm your host. Today's topic is control versus healthy boundaries and how to know the difference. Lately, the topic of control and boundaries has been very much front and center in my life. While part of me would like to give you some real life examples and talk about the nitty-gritty details, I don't think I should. I want to protect all parties involved. And this podcast isn't about trashing anyone. While I won't give names or personal details, I will say this. There are some young adults in my life right now who are having a tough time telling the difference between control and boundaries. I've come to realize that they're not the only ones. Many of us were never trained to see the difference, while others were raised in controlling home when there was only one opinion and no boundaries were allowed. I myself had a hard time at first. My main issue was that, to me, boundaries seemed unloving and something I could not make fit into my unconditional love box. Wasn't having boundaries in place a condition? Took me a while to realize that love infers respect, and this includes self-respect. Being a pushover is not any more about unconditional love than being controlling. Boundaries were for me, not for others. Remember this. I think this word picture will help a little bit if you struggle with boundaries as I did. Each of us are guests in other people's lives, and they are guests in ours. Inviting someone to be a guest in your life is a gift. In a relationship with you, they get to be free individuals and to make their own choices. Their choices in no way ever reflect on you. Remember, they have their own story and their own journey to live. They have their own battles to fight and their own path to follow. Your job is to support these individuals in their journey and not to make them fit into yours. Support is not control. As a matter of fact, it never is control. However, yes, there is an however. As you do with guests in your home, as the owner, in this case, the owner of yourself, you have the right, and I would even say the responsibility, to have boundaries in place of what is appropriate for you and what is not. Now, let's delve further into control and boundaries. They are far from being the same thing. Controls sound ominous. We all would like to think that controlling and manipulative individuals are easy to spot. Sadly, this is not always the case. Controllers can be extremely charismatic. As I mentioned before, I did not learn about healthy boundaries until I was myself an adult. The lesson did not come naturally, nor easily. There was much fumbling on my part, much pain also. Indeed, boundaries can seem mean, especially to those who come face to face with them, so to speak. Boundaries can seem constrictive to people in your life, and yes, they can even look like control at first appearance, although there are substantial differences between the two. For these reasons, today I wanted to take a closer look at the differences and also cover why boundaries are essential to healthy relationships. I first became acquainted with the idea of boundaries back in the 1990s. At the time, there was a book which was very popular called Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life by authors Henry Cloud and Joan Townsend. As a side note, an updated version of this book came out in 2017. For the sake of honesty, you need to know I did not read the book until recently, although I have read other materials on the subject of boundaries. I have since that short time given the book to at least three individuals with their permission. If you're unfamiliar with boundaries, I will encourage you to read the book. Let's start with control though, shall we? What is control? The definition is the power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of events. Usually controlling relationships are also abusive. I say usually because on occasion, parents need to be controlling. For instance, your child is about to run into the street. You take control and pick them up. In short, you impose your will upon him or her, in this case, for good reasons. When I'm talking about control, I am not talking about this type of situations. You can recognize controllers by these five common behaviors. I'm sure there are more, but I will concentrate on those five. Since we're easier to control when we're isolated, controllers will want to cut you off from your support system. This means you will often be made to feel guilty if you want to spend time with your friends or with your family. Remember, manipulation always starts with guilt. In this case, the person who is trying to control your behavior can involve pouting, emotional withdrawing, criticism of your friends or family members, criticism of you or your hobbies, anything. While the behavior used can look very different, they'll have one goal in common: straining, or even better, ending your relationships with the people you're close to until you feel that that one person is the only person in your world. This tactic can be employed by family members, a cult leader, a friend, a spouse. For controllers, the motto is us against them, and they want you to be isolated. You are much easier to control when you're alone. Secondly, controllers criticize you. The problem is that their criticism may be robed in something less threatening. Controllers are cunning. They may use language which appears supportive and maybe even sounds helpful. They want to convince you that they're indeed being helpful. Here are examples. You had your nails done? Again? Why do you waste so much time making jewelry or crafts? You're having another cookie? Maybe you should start exercising more. While in healthy relationships, on occasion, we might still criticize each other. We're human, after all. With controllers, it is constant and carries the implication that something is wrong with you and you need them to make better decisions. They like to undermine your ability to make decisions and take action on your own. 3, they don't trust you. Controlling people will not respect your privacy, and they will not have any issues reading your mail or your text or being extremely nosy. 4, they claim that they do what they do because they love you. Therefore, they want to protect you. The thing is, you are entitled to your choices, even if they're crummy ones. Of course, those who love you may want to give you advice, but in the end, they will respect you and your choices. 5, controllers will make you question yourself and your sanity. Basically, they will mess with your head until you don't think you can trust yourself. In summary, controllers are focused on themselves. They are very self-centered. It is all about them. Boundaries, while they appear controlling to some, are me-focused, not other-focused. I found this definition of boundaries, which I really like. Personal boundaries are the physical, emotional, and mental limits we establish to protect ourselves from being manipulated, used, or violated by others. Boundaries allow you to separate who you are and what you think and feel from the thoughts and feelings of others. As a side note, controllers hate boundaries. I did not have very good boundaries while growing up and even as a young adult. For example, early in our marriage, some family members used to drop on me unannounced. This really annoyed me to no end, especially since on top of an unplanned visit, I was later also criticized behind my back if my house, the kids, and I were a mess, which was 99.9% of the time. 20 years ago, I seethed, but I kept silent. Now, I would kindly ask them to call before showing up, and if they were upset about me making that request, I would know that they owned their anger and hurt and the right to their feelings. I would also know that their feelings, as a result of my boundaries, were not for me to carry. It's their problem. I would not be cruel, I would not be mean, but you don't show up at my house without telling me you're coming. Getting older and hopefully wiser does have its advantages. We'll all work in progress, aren't we? Let me leave you with one other example, and that one is about one of my sons. We were traveling to back from California, and we stopped in Yuma, Arizona for a pit stop and to get some food. We were in In-N-Out Burger, and my son happened to be wearing an In-N-Out shirt that he had been given by a friend. The lady had never seen a shirt like this, and she approached him, and she thought that was really cool, and she said, "May I take your picture?" And he thought for a few seconds, and he said, "I would rather not." She was really taken aback, and at this point, I could have said, "Well, come on, it's not a big deal," or whatever. But I respected his choice, and I was actually extremely proud of him, because he was only about 16, that he was able to give his opinion and really say no to an adult. I really liked that he had the confidence to be able to do that, and I kind of get myself a pat on the back on that one, that he had learned what boundaries were. And so I would love to hear some of your stories about boundaries or control. You can do that by going back to my site and leaving a comment or on the Facebook page. And if you want more information about my blog, you can find me at florencewitt.org. On the top of the nav bar, I have a podcast tab. And if you click on that, you will have all the listing, all the podcasts. You will have links to things that I may have talked about, like the book today or other articles and blog posts that may be really helpful. And until next time, I'm very grateful for you and I really appreciate your time. I know that your time is precious. We all have a lot of demands on our life. So thanks for listening. And until next time, you have a great week.